Would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of John. I would like to read from John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I encourage you to go home today and to begin to read and study the book of John. I right now feel like that probably we'll be studying the book of John for quite a while. There's just so much in the book of John that the Lord has placed on my heart. There's so much important teachings on the subject of believing in Jesus Christ, trusting in Christ, knowing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I pray that God will help us all to believe in the Lord and to believe on the Lord. You will now look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We'll look at the last two verses. Before we begin to read those two verses, I would ask you to join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come together in Thy house with our brothers and sisters in Christ to try to read and study Thy Word and to try to lift up our voices and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, to try to worship Thee. And we pray that You would help us now as we continue in this worship hour, that Your Spirit would be manifest, that we would be lifted up and our feet would be planted on heaven's table land. We pray that Thou would feed us with manna from on high. We know that without Thee we can do nothing. We certainly cannot worship Thee unless Thy Spirit would help us and bless us. We thank You again for Thy Word. We pray that You would help us as we study Thy Word this day, that we would see Jesus and that we would honor Him and trust in Him, that we would believe on the name of the Lord. Help us now. Bless all those who are sick and afflicted and those who have special burdens and problems. We ask You to give us wisdom to know what to do in every situation in our lives. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. John chapter 20, the last two verses. The Word of God says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." Now, John tells us why he wrote everything that he wrote in those two verses, really in the second verse that I read. He says, "I have written these things unto you that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." That's the reason he wrote these things, is for us to believe that Jesus is the Christ. "And that believing ye might have life through His name." We're not going to look at the second part this morning, but we're just going to be looking, Lord willing, at the first half of that verse, which says, "I've written these things unto you so that you can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." I want us to go back now to the beginning of the book of John and want us to begin there looking at some of the things that God inspired John to write. And as we look at those things, remember that the reason these things are written are for us to believe what? Two things. To believe that Jesus is the Christ and to believe that He is the Son of God. That's the reason he writes these things. Now we begin in John chapter 1 to look at some of the things that he wrote. And I want us to begin with the first three verses. And remember now, the purpose of these three verses, as well as everything else written in the book of John, is that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He says in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now this says, in the beginning, not talking about in the beginning of the book of John, but it's going all the way back to the beginning of this world. "In the beginning of this world was the Word," that capital W-O-R-D, has reference to Jesus Christ. In the beginning, back there in the beginning of this world, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2 says, the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3 says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, whoever this Word is, all things were made by Him. God made all things. And then you come down to verse 14, and verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, I want you to think about that 14th verse. He says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's describing Jesus Christ. And He says, I want you to know and understand that in the beginning, back there, in the beginning was the Word, and all things were made by Him. God in the person of Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost were in the beginning of this world. And when we read in the creation, and this is the foundation of what John is giving us about us believing that Jesus is the Christ, is that Jesus is the Creator. Just remember that. The first thing that He gives, the first evidence that He gives, the first thing that He says, I've written these things unto you so that you can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He says, the first thing I want you to know is Jesus was way back there in the beginning of this world. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God, and all things were made by Him. If you go back to Genesis, we're not going to do that right now, but if you were to go back to Genesis chapter 1, you'll find that in verse 26, the Scripture says, and God said, let us make man, let us make man. God said, let us make man in our image. That's talking about God, the one true and living God. And there are three persons in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And John is laying the foundation here that Jesus was back there in the beginning of the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by Him, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as of the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. Now, we are sons of God. We are children of God. But Jesus is different than us. Jesus is called the only begotten Son of God. Now, these things are written so that you can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus is, the Scripture says in verse 14, He is full of grace and truth. That's all that, there's no error in Him. He is full of grace and truth. Now that cannot be said about any of us. But Jesus was full of grace and truth. It cannot be said about any of us that we are the only begotten Son of God. It cannot be said about any of us that we were back there in the beginning of this world. Though we were in Christ Jesus, we did not have any part in creating all things. And yet John is saying here, I'm writing this to you so that you can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. After he lays this foundation that Jesus is the Creator of this world, and He has made all things, and He was made flesh and dwelt among us, after He lays the foundation that Jesus is the Creator, the next thing that He does in this passage of Scripture is He describes and declares in verse 6, 7, and 8. Look at those three verses. In John chapter 1, verse 6, the Scripture says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of, what are the next two words there? The light. Now, what's the first principle? What's the first thing that John teaches us about Jesus in the first three verses? That Jesus created all things. We see Jesus as the Creator, and he says, I've written to you about him being the Creator so that you can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now, the second thing he says is that John the Baptist, John was sent from God, and he came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John was not that light. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, who is this great light? Jesus Christ. Who was the forerunner of Christ? John the Baptist. And that's what John the Apostle, John the Baptist didn't write this book. John the Apostle says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, he was called a shining light, and he certainly brought some light, but he was not the light that would light the world. He came to bear witness of the light, and the light was Jesus Christ. Now, listen, in 1 John, the Word of God says in 1 John chapter 1, don't turn there right now. Well, I want us just to stay on the light just a minute. Jesus is the light. He is the light. You remember back there in the creation, the first thing God said was, let there be light. Now, the sun and the moon and the stars were not created until the fourth day. And yet, in the very beginning of this world, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And there was light on the first day, and the second day, and the third day. And the sun and the moon and the stars and all the natural lights were not created until the fourth day. Who and what was the light in the first 3 days? It was the light of God. It was God manifesting His glory. And that light was Jesus Christ. And John says, now, that light that lit the world up in the beginning, that light, Jesus Christ, has come into the earth and He has shined in our hearts. He's come to give light to the world. He's come to give a light different than the light of the sun and the moon and the stars. And I'm telling you, brethren, just as plants, I planted a little garden in my yard yesterday, and just as those plants cannot live without light, the children of God cannot live without the light of God. We need the light. We cannot walk in this world without the light of God. We'll wander to and fro without the light of God. I need Jesus. I need the light. And you need the light. And He is the only light. In fact, the Word of God tells us about entering into the kingdom of heaven. In Revelation chapter 21, the Word of God calls it the city of what? The city of light. And the Word of God says in Revelation 21 about that city of light that it has no need of the sun or the moon to lighten it, because Christ is the light thereof. Jesus is the light thereof. Why did John say here that John the Baptist came to bear witness of the light? Why did he say that? Because he said, I want you to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He is the light. Jesus is the light. Look in your Bibles at John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Remember now, why do we have the book of John? According to John's own testimony, why has he written these things? He says, I have written these things unto you, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John chapter 8 and verse 12, here's the testimony from Jesus himself. The Word of God says in John chapter 8 and verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. You know, it's wonderful. It's marvelous. I want you to just think about this just a moment. There are a number of things that Jesus says in the book of John that's not recorded anywhere else. And one of the things that Jesus says here is, I am the light of the world. He didn't say, I came to give light. He said, I am the light. He said in John 10, I believe he says, I am the bread of life. He didn't say, I came to give bread. What did he say? I am the bread. He says in John 15, I am the true vine. He didn't say, there is a vine. He says, I am the vine. He says in John chapter 11, he says, I am the resurrection. He didn't say, I come to bring about a resurrection. He says, I am the resurrection. And all through the Word of God, you find Jesus saying over and over, what does he say? What's those first two words that I've mentioned with each of those phrases? I am. And we'll look at that more later. Right now, he's saying what? I am the what in John 8:12? I am the light. I am the light. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Listen, brethren, if you follow Jesus, you're going to have the light of life. You'll have the light of life. No matter what else is going on around you, you'll have the light of life. It doesn't matter the persecution. It doesn't matter the trouble. It doesn't matter the problems. Nothing else matters in this world. You'll have the light of life if you follow Jesus. No matter how bad things get, you'll have the light of life, which is Jesus. And you will not walk in darkness if you have the light with you. But the only way that you'll have the light with you is if you walk in the light as He is in the light. Because you cannot have the light, you cannot have Jesus without following Him. You have to follow Jesus Christ. If you get away from following Jesus, you're walking in darkness. Have you ever walked in darkness? I have. All of us have. And every time you walk in darkness, you need to pray, God, help me to get back to following Jesus. Every time that I begin to back up and slow down and be less diligent in my service to God, I need to pray, God, help me to get back in the light. Help me to walk in the light. Because Jesus says here, He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I want you to understand, as we study the book of John, we're going to be studying a lot about life. L-I-F-E. And we're not talking about eternal heaven when we talk about life. John was not talking about eternal heaven. Neither was Jesus talking about eternal heaven when he talked about life. He was talking about the abundant life that God's obedient children have while they live here in this world. The Word of God says, why will you die before your time? He's not talking about a natural death. He's talking about the fact that many of the children of God, they die. They don't have the light of life. They die before they are dead physically. We need the light of life. That's the only thing that will keep us from perishing. And Jesus says, if you walk in the light, you will not be walking in darkness, but you shall have the light of life. Turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Why is John recording all these things? What did he tell us when he gets to the end of the book? He says, these things have I written unto you, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John chapter 12, listen, please, to verse 35 and 36. Verses 35 and 36. John chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. The Word of God says, John chapter 12, verse 35, the Scripture says, then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Now, Jesus right here was still walking on the face of the earth. And he says, yet a little while ye have the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Have you ever seen people just wandering around in this world? No goal, no objective, no course, just wallowing around, just wandering around, and they're like the Scripture says, they're tossed about with every wind and doctrine, just to and fro. No stability. Now Jesus says, he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. If we ever lose sight of Jesus, we won't know where we're going. Because he's the light. In verse 36 he says, while ye have the light, believe in the light. Now, what's the focus of the book of John? To believe. To believe. These things I have written unto you, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. While you have the light, believe in the light. You know what we need to do? We need to believe in the light. We need to believe in Jesus. I need to trust in Jesus. I need to know that Jesus is my only hope every day of my life. Listen, brethren, listen carefully. The first and foremost and the most primary thing that we need to believe about Jesus is that He has saved us from our sins. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that Jesus has saved you from your sins? Do you believe that when He hung on the cross of Calvary, that He shed His blood, that He died for your sins, and He redeemed you? That, brethren, if you know that truth, if you know that Jesus is the Christ who died for you on the cross, that's something you need to praise the Lord for. But that's not all that you need to believe about Jesus. You need to believe that. But there's much more you need to believe about Jesus. Amen. Not just that He saved you from your sins, but you need to believe that Jesus can help you day by day. Jesus is alive today. There are so many people that their concept of Jesus is that He died on the cross of Calvary, and He saved us from our sins, and one day, and their minds just jump, one day He's coming back, and He's going to take us home to be with Him forever. They miss the whole thrust of the New Testament, because the thrust of the New Testament is not just about He died on the cross, and it's not just about Him coming again. The thrust of the New Testament and the thrust of the book of John is He is alive. He is with you now. He is your light now. He is your help now. He's your salvation now. He helps you day by day. And it's in believing that He's alive now and walking with you now, that's what gets you through this world. That's the only thing that'll get you through the world. You cannot face the problems and troubles of life unless you feel the light with you. You'll walk in darkness. You'll go off a cliff unless you feel Jesus leading you. We need the light. Walk while you have the light. Because if you don't walk while you have the light, darkness will come upon you. There's a warning there that if you're not going to walk in the light, if you're not going to walk with Jesus now, He's saying, I'm going to send darkness upon you. And then you're going to be in a terrible mess. Come down to verse 46, John 12, verse 46. He says, Jesus says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. You hear what He's saying there? Whosoever does what? Believeth on me. Why did John write all these things? That we might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, the Son of God, that we might believe. Now Jesus says here, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. We should not abide in darkness. And if we believe on Him, we'll follow Him, and we will not abide in darkness. Jesus says, abide in me. Every branch that abides in Christ will bring forth fruit. And if we're not bringing forth fruit, it is clear and unmistakable evidence that we're not abiding in Christ. The way that we abide in Christ is to stay close to Him every day. Stay connected with Him. If you're going days without thinking about Jesus, if you're not really thinking about Jesus every day, if you're not depending on Jesus every day, if you're not walking with Jesus every day, then you're walking in darkness and you're on a path of destruction. There's a straight and a narrow way that leads unto life. There's a broad way that leads to destruction. And it's sometimes very difficult to follow Jesus. This idea that it's a bed of roses and it's easy, that's a lie from the devil. It's something to deceive you so that when trouble comes, you'll say, well, this just isn't what Jesus said. You read the Bible and you'll see that Jesus says it's difficult. It's hard. And yet, when it gets hard and you look to Jesus and you listen to what He says when He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You'll find rest for your soul. You'll find strength. You'll find everything you need. No matter how big your burdens are, you'll find everything you need if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. While you're believing, you'll have everything you need. You stop believing and you stop walking and you stop obeying and you'll lose everything you need. Jesus is the light. Go with me now to 1 John, just a moment. Go with me to 1 John, the very end of the New Testament. You have three little books, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Same writer, that wrote the Gospel of John, wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in the book of Revelation. Go to the very end of the New Testament, start at Revelation, back up 3 or 4 pages, and you'll come to, when you go to Revelation and back up in your Bibles 3 or 4 pages, you'll come to the book of 1st John. And I want you to look now at 1st John chapter 1, same writer now. Why is he writing all that he wrote? So that you can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In John, 1 John chapter 1, listen, beginning in verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, the Word of God says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is what?"
Light.
God is light. Now, think just a moment. In the book of the Gospel of John, the emphasis is on what person of the Godhead being like?
Jesus.
And what does the Scripture say here? God is light. Jesus is the light. Do you see the connection? "These things I have written unto you so that you can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." God is light. And Jesus is the Son of God, and He is light. He says in verse 6, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." I've had people that are walking in just as ungodly a way as you can imagine. They'll say, "I'm just as close to God as I've always been." Either they've never been close to God or they're deceived right then. They don't know that they're far away from God. God's Word says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." What do we need to do? We need to walk in the what?
Light.
We need to walk in the light. That would also be the same as walking with God. That would also be the same as walking with Jesus, because God is light, Jesus is light. This is the reason. Let's go back now to 1 John. Go back to the book of John. We're still in chapter 1. What was the first thing in John chapter 1 that John tells us about Jesus to help us believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? What's the first thing John says in John chapter 1 that helps us believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? What's the first thing he says? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by Him." He establishes that Jesus is the Creator. He is the Creator. Now, the second thing we've looked at this morning is that Jesus is the light of the world. And when you see that God is light and that Jesus is light, you see and know and understand that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He's called the capital S-O-N of God, and He's called the capital S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness, because He shines so brightly. In Him was grace and truth. He was full of grace and truth. Now in John, look at something else that the Word of God tells us about Jesus to help us believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Look at John chapter 1, verse 29. Now, who's the writer of this book? John the Apostle. And in John 1, verse 29, John the Apostle is writing about John the Baptist. And he says in John chapter 1, verse 29, "The next day John," that's John the Baptist, "seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith," let me don't read the rest of that. Just let me ask you. If you had been John the Baptist, would you have said, "Behold, the one who created the earth"? Would that have been good to have said? Absolutely. Nothing wrong with that. He could have said, "Behold, the creator of the world." Could he have said, "Behold, the light of the world"? Could he have said, all the other things that the Word of God tells, all of those would have been fine. But here's what John the Baptist said. Here's his testimony to help us believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John the Baptist said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To behold the Lamb of God. Do you see Jesus as the Lamb of God? I think probably, maybe more than anyone else that has ever lived, I think Abraham understood that Jesus was the Lamb of God. And the reason I think that is because if you were to go back and read in Genesis chapter 22, where God said to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, take him up into that mountain and offer him as a burnt offering and a sacrifice. And they carried the wood, they rose up early in the morning, and they carried the wood, and they began to go up on that mountain. And Isaac said, in essence, he said, Daddy, where we have the wood, and we have the fire, and we have everything else, but where is the offering? And here are the words that Abraham said. He said, God will provide Himself a lamb. Now, don't you know Abraham was happy right there? God will provide Himself. Doesn't say prepare for Himself a lamb. God will prepare Himself a lamb. And that's what God did in the person of Jesus Christ. God prepared Himself a lamb. And I believe that's what Jesus was talking about when Jesus writes about Abraham and says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it, and he was glad he saw the day of Jesus. And I think that's what he was talking about back there in Genesis chapter 22. The lamb. God prepared Himself a lamb. Mary, there's a little verse that we sometimes teach our children. Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. I'm telling you, there are some that have taken that little verse that's talking about just a little sheep and a little girl, and they've taken that and they've made a beautiful picture. Some, I've read some beautiful things about Mary having a little lamb, and his fleece was white as snow. And brethren, when you go home and read Isaiah chapter 53, you'll read all about that lamb whose fleece was white as snow. That there was no blemish in him. There was nothing about him that was sinful. He was not conceived by a sinful man. He was conceived by God Himself. He did not live a sinful life. He never sinned a single time during His life. God provided Himself a lamb. And I don't know of anything more wonderful to see than what John saw when he saw Jesus coming. And the thing that stood out to John right then was, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, brethren, when you can see Jesus as the Lamb of God, and you can believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God, and you can really believe that He has saved you from your sins, then you can rejoice in an abundant way. Glory to God is right. Let me say one more thing in closing. The Apostle Peter says, let's just turn here and read in closing in 1 Peter. Turn in your Bibles and we'll close here in 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1, listen please to verses 18 to 19. Have you ever heard people say, send me your money? Need your money. It takes $4.18. It takes $63 to save a soul. Let me tell you something, brethren. What they're talking about, saving people from eternal hell to eternal heaven, all the money in the world has never saved one person from eternal hell to eternal heaven. $10 million would not have been enough to save you or any other man. 1 Peter chapter 1, listen to what the Word of God says. Verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers. Verse 19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You were redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb. What does John say is the reason he wrote this whole book? These things have I written unto you that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And hopefully one day we'll get to the rest of that verse. We're not near close to that point. But he says, and that believing you might have life through His name. May God help us to believe so that we can have life through His name, is my prayer for Christ's sake.